This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. There probably isn't a parent around who has not had a child come home and write that classic school essay, "What I Want to Be When I Grow Up." And as our next guest proves, it might be very wise to pay close attention to that goal that child sets for himself or herself. When she was 10 years old, Caitlin Lynch of Bloomfield Hills announced her goal was to become a professional singer. She came from a family of very talented musicians. She had had her first solo in first grade at Holy Name School in Birmingham, singing "My Favorite Things" from The Sound of Music at the school talent show. She sang her way through Marion High School in Bloomfield Hills and then on to the University of Michigan. And this March, the ultimate dream became reality as Caitlin Lynch made her debut at the Metropolitan Opera House in New York in Francesca da Rimini. And she joins us now in the studio. Welcome, Caitlin, and congratulations.
Thanks so much.
Did you have a sense when you were a student here in Ann Arbor that you would see yourself on stage at the Met?
No, absolutely not. I remember going to the Michigan Opera Theater with my mother, actually, and watching Don Giovanni. I was 18, probably. These women up there doing the lead soprano roles were so spectacular, and I thought, this is such a distant dream. I'd never be up there. And then I actually made my professional operatic debut at Michigan Opera Theater in Don Giovanni. That was an enormous goal in itself. I never even thought as far as the Met.
You
didn't. It's so distant. Certainly, as my career progressed and I got managed, my management put me up for auditions for small roles and covers at the Met. You know, pretty early into my career, I think probably I sang for the Met for the first time, maybe in 2008. Mm-hmm. So then it becomes a little bit more of a reality that this is possible.
That you're actually getting sent on auditions.
Exactly. But there were a few auditions and a few no's, or maybe laters from them. And then just a couple of years ago, I did another audition and they offered me a couple of contracts. I never dreamed it to be possible, although I should mention that Lou Smella was our acting drama teacher at Marion High School. And she would take a big group of us girls to New York, and we'd go see Broadway shows, and we went on tour at the Met. We did a backstage tour at the Met. And I remember her coming to me and saying, we were in the dressing room area at the Met, "You might be here someday, Caitlin. Take this moment and you could be here someday." And I just, you know, sort of got chills. Mm-hmm. And thought this couldn't be possible. So then I was there, and it was possible.
You were walking in to rehearse. What was that like, to your first day of saying, here I am rehearsing for my debut at the Met?
Well, the truth is, I just had a baby in September, and so my mother was with me in New York. We got to New York a couple of days early so he would adjust. He was 4 months old when we got to Manhattan for me to start rehearsals. He didn't adjust. He wasn't sleeping at all.
Oh, dear.
And we were in a tiny one-bedroom apartment, so none of us were sleeping. The three of us were awake for the 2 days before rehearsal started. So I showed up at rehearsal.
On your last good nerve?
Well, it was – in a way, I'm sort of grateful for the circumstances because I wasn't able to even think about nerves. Mm. I was just getting there. I just had to show up awake and alert and do my thing. And so I didn't have the time or energy to think too much about my singing or think too much about how I looked that day. And in a way, that was sort of liberating. Mm-hmm. And freed me up. And I had a great, great time. And the musicians are so fantastic. The other singers were just wonderful. So I was inspired the entire time. And I was learning so much in rehearsals from my colleagues. And the first time I walked out onto the stage was so exciting, but I had to play it cool because, you know, all my colleagues were around and there was only one other singer in the cast who was making their debut. So I was sort of the newbie, the freshman on campus, so to speak. So I had to pretend like it wasn't such a big deal. It was just the Met. It's just this enormous, beautiful house that I'd been on the other side of that stage many times as an audience member.
Yes, and here you are looking out now at the house.
Different perspective altogether.
That you had to kind of keep to yourself.
Yeah.
Fill in the blanks for us, Caitlin, as far as getting from the University of Michigan. You were a voice major here?
Correct.
And then connect the dots. How does one build a career that can land them at the Met? Clearly there's talent, but there's a lot of hard work too. You didn't just land on that stage.
No, absolutely. Hard work, talent, and right time, right place, good support system. My path is individual to me. Everyone's is different, mm-hmm. but I took a year off after I graduated with my Bachelor of Music from the University of Michigan, and I moved to Boston. And I thought, I've got to get out of Michigan. I've been here my whole life.
Mm.
Let's get some perspective. And I took time off of singing. I worked at a couple funeral homes in Boston and a Starbucks there. And I didn't sing. I'd been singing my whole life. My parents both sang. My grandparents sang. It was always just something I did. And I, at some point in my undergraduate studies, I didn't know why I was doing it anymore. I couldn't figure out if it was really what I wanted to do, if it was my dream, or if it was just this expectation.
Like almost by default.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I needed to take some time off, and I wouldn't even sing in the car with my CDs. They would play, but I wouldn't sing along, which was very unusual. It was like I just had to sort of shut that part down and see what happened. And about 6 months into that time, I was miserable, truly miserable. And I realized quickly that there was this void that had to be filled with music, singing. It was just something I couldn't not do. So as a senior at Michigan, I had gotten into the Conservatory of Music in Cincinnati, and they let me defer for the year to take the year off. I thought, well, I probably won't go. You know, I don't know if I'm going to be a singer. And then after those 6 months, I was so grateful I had deferred, and there was a spot for me. So I started my master's in 2003. In Cincinnati at CCM, had a wonderful teacher there who sort of built me back up since I had taken so much time off.
Mm-hmm.
Things were rusty.
Yeah.
And he was so patient. Bill McGraw is his name. And I was there for 3 years. I did 2 years of a master's program and 1 year of an artist diploma in opera, and didn't finish the artist diploma because the Seattle Opera accepted me into their young artist program.
And a career can begin that way.
Exactly. So that was my first really professional engagement. And I had done so many auditions. I think it's interesting to note, I'd probably sent in 25 applications. You know, not everyone would even hear me. And I probably did 15 or 20 auditions, and one company accepted me into their program, and that was Seattle.
And there is a real lesson for hopefuls, young hopefuls, that you're going to hear no. You're going to hear no, but that doesn't
way more
mean,
than yes.
But it doesn't mean it can't happen,
exactly.
Whatever that dream is.
No, it takes one person to get your talent and take a chance on you. And for me, that was this wonderful director in Seattle, Peter Cazares. And also that same year, I was accepted into a summer young artist program at Glimmerglass Opera. And then I went on to make my main stage debut there a few years later in The Marriage of Figaro. So that is how it began. And when I was in Seattle, sort of life opened up to me in so many beautiful ways. And I met my husband.
And now you are a new mommy. And,
exactly.
And he is also a singer. So you can really share that, share understanding of what each other is doing that in a way that maybe an outsider wouldn't get.
Exactly. It's amazing that we have each other.
What are your thoughts on just the presence of arts classes and arts education in elementary and high school? Because we have so many districts in our state now with shrinking funding, shrinking enrollment, and eroding tax base, where you know they can take a look at that and say, you know what, we need to focus on the technology and the science classes
right.
at the expense of arts education. In your view, having benefited from that, what do youngsters get from arts education, even if they're not going to wind up on stage at the Metropolitan Opera?
Oh, my gosh, so much. I don't know what I would have done without it. Music class every week, all through elementary school, middle school, high school. I think about – I'm sort of going to answer the question in a backwards way. But having a career in opera, sometimes it's hard to keep perspective of what this really matters. How does it really matter? What does it really impact in the world to be a professional opera singer? It's certainly not brain surgery, not saving lives. However, I think that music and the arts are so healing and so powerful that it's important for me to take it so seriously, what I'm offering to an audience when I get up on stage. People have, you know, 2 or 3 hours to get an escape from their daily lives. I think that music is so healing. Why do we have baby Mozart CDs for little kids to listen to? You know, Vivaldi and Handel and Bach, these composers, obviously there's something in this music that is expanding children's minds, babies' minds. And in that way, I think that it's so crucial to be part of our public school systems, private school systems. I think the arts have to be better represented in our country. It's really, it's scary how they're disappearing.
Now you have got your Met debut under your belt. What's next?
Next, I go to Madison, Wisconsin. And then after that, I'm going to Seattle to do a world premiere by composer Jake Heggie, who's the most incredible composer and a man, with a company called Music of Remembrance. And I did a world premiere by him last year in Seattle, and this is sort of a continuation of that. And there's a recording that'll be made of the program. So I'm really excited about that. I've sort of had wonderful opportunities to be a part of new composers' works and creating a role for the first time.
So all of you are kind of the new guard in opera.
Exactly.
In a sense.
Yes, right. Jake as the composer and me as the singer. It's such an exciting collaboration. You sort of think about when Mozart was composing for his singers or Handel was composing for his singers, what that collaboration was like, and to sort of be a part of something so new and exciting and alive is thrilling. It's one of my favorite parts of my career to be able to sing new music.
And then looking forward to the Met?
Yes, I'll be back at the Met in the fall, in September. My baby will turn one in New York City, which is exciting. I'll be there doing another new opera by another young composer, Nico Muli is his name. The opera is Two Boys. I will perform in the fall, November, in New York. And I did his another opera by Nico last year in New York, which was exciting, and then in Philadelphia. So it's another really wonderful collaboration for me to be working with him as well.
Michigan-born soprano Caitlin Lynch, it was great talking with you today on Stateside.
Thanks so much.
And to wrap up our conversation with Caitlin, here she is singing a traditional Irish song, Wild Mountain Time.